that's fun.
That's,
people could tour.
That's our boat.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's what
you trying, trying
to. Where's your fit? Like you, your whole, like you.
Yeah, my dad.
You and your dad. Okay.
Should have gone and testified about it. They're kind of swaying.
I have my dad who is ready to scrap it. Like he has, he's like ready to let, like take the oxyacetylene torch and start cutting it up. So.
You could go testify really quick.
Time is running out, guys.
Say, you should do this. Just tell them more about it. I think because they just don't have enough information about it. They're kind of waffling on it. Like half the people are saying yes, half of them are saying no.
I kind of like part of me just doesn't.
Don't be there.
Just, it like becomes a thing then that there's going to be like people who don't like it. And then, you know, it's like I kind of almost like don't want to be involved.
Like, I don't know who those both of them is.
Yeah. But like, literally, my guy is ready to torch it, and the it's like a historic like log tender. So
I think they're just concerned about how crowded Willamette Park is already, and that one more thing.
Yeah, I think there's some good reasons.
Are there other parks you could put it at, like various shows? I don't know, how big is this thing?
Do you think it's trunkable?
Okay.
Okay.
Do you really want like a... No, I don't really either.
There was... They talked about Maddox Woods.
Yeah.
Like the Maddox Woods, you know, no one goes to that part. It needs an attraction.
I was just there this week, and I'm like...
For the holiday, the whole time I didn't go.
Yeah, they have the holidays. So that's actually a super nice little park area down there.
It's beautiful. Yeah. There were no lights. I don't think they're doing
it this year. They aren't doing
it. And I posted on the community page, hey, anyone know? And people liked my post, but they didn't actually respond.
So what's getting right here?
Oh,
hey,
you.
How are you?
How are you?
Now we have enough for quorum. I think Camila said four of us. She just
everything
copies of things.
Okay, fantastic.
We have lots of things
that was not my iPad.
I know. I really need to get an iPad. I swear for these types of meetings when I need if I'm not at home on Zoom,
it's super helpful
because this is too small.
I use it for listings too.
I thought about
it. Because I have it. Sometimes you need to just
need something a little bigger to show. Versus
or when you do multiple offers, it's the spreadsheet's easier to see on the screen than
true.
There you go. The business
candy expense. Before. Hi, Heather.
Hey,
would I really like candy before we start?
What kind of it?
There's some Snickers and mints. Complimentary of John Williams without him knowing it. That's recorded.
Thank you for the Snickers, John.
All right, should we get started? I don't know if that was going or not. I did not see anything. Maybe he's on the camera.
Texting.
It's okay if he doesn't want to, I guess, because we've got a quorum. I was worried about that.
Yeah, do we have anyone?
This is being recorded. No public has reached out to me or Lynn, so.
Okay, wow.
We're just gonna go through the agenda. The agenda for you guys is right there.
Here's the agenda, and then these are what, all the fun stuff we read.
Here's some minutes. This is just a copy of the economic development plan, because I find that one actually very interesting. And then this is a copy of your report from last year.
Okay.
And then I did draft a copy of which we'll talk about. I do definitely want to make sure we have time to talk about the 2022 report.
Okay.
I feel like that's like
Super important.
Yeah.
But so we don't need to kind of get crazy with all the documents. I think, I don't know, I find it just really helpful to kind of read. I've read through them twice, a lot going on. And we'll just kind of talk about them and see if they can play into existing work and future work.
Hello.
How are you?
Russell said he's running late, but he'll be on time.
Okay.
Apologies for being late.
That's all right.
Interviewing people for these things.
There's a lot of exciting things.
Oh, yeah, you gotta do it upstairs.
It's that time of year. Why do we do this to ourselves in December?
Because you gotta get ready and have everybody appointed by January. Should do is hold over.
Till February 1.
We'll hold over the appointments until they are replaced, right? So you just indefinitely until they're replaced, we can do it whenever you want.
As someone facing that right now, I think that's.
No need to.
Well, they don't have to stay.
We can go ahead and call the meeting to order. So we have enough people here.
Yeah.
Questions for the record?
I don't think so.
Everyone knows each other.
No, let's do it. You want to do it?
Yeah.
All right.
Someone watching might not know.
That's true.
We are being recorded.
Yes.
Am I seeing any?
It's there somewhere.
There we go. Okay.
There's my head. Todd Jones, council liaison. I just like saying that word.
Michael Burner, BDC member.
Heather Jones, member.
Alina Schnarr, business support and economic development coordinator for the city of West Lynn.
Shannon Eilis, chair.
Shannon Knight, vice chair.
Okay, that's all right.
Oh, it's all good.
Moving on to any public comments, you said we didn't have anything. Okay, then we'll just move on to approving the meeting notes from our side.
There are some copies.
For that meeting, so.
I don't know if any, did you guys read them? Okay.
Questions, concerns, changes?
Nope.
Okay. We move to approve.
I'll move to approve.
Moving on. Okay, we're going fast. All right, so let's get to the November meeting to discuss the following documents.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody saw my email. And I think the gist of sort of the goal of the work session was to look at what existing economic development plans, documents sort of out in the ether. Michael had a great suggestion too, to just, you know, see what, if there was anything that was going to be useful for us moving forward. So I think my goal with this is, has everyone read them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I received comments back from Josh, Shannon, and Michael, and I have copies of those if you'd like them.
Josh's.
Okay, I have a couple copies too. And I can pull them up there. Todd, I don't know if you want copies of any, you're just going to kind of listen in.
I've got it here.
Here, did you?
I just gave for Josh.
Josh's, okay. And I think it was, you know, I think we should go around and each person can just briefly, you know, discuss whether there's anything they really liked, if they saw any themes, if you think there's anything that we need to sort of make sure we preserve moving forward. Because I think what I would like to do is kind of make a memo about what we're working with next year, like whether we're going to write a new economic development plan, hire somebody to do a new economic opportunities analysis, or if we're just going to, you know, like Michael talked about, just doing a 2-page recommendation for a specific project. Yeah, but I think there is some good stuff, particularly in the economic development plan, I thought, and EOA. So
I remember I wrote it like right after you sent it. So because I wanted to get it done and out of the way. I have no idea what I said.
I have a copy of yours, if you want to reread it. You covered it.
Good stuff.
It was brilliant. It was always good.
You know you've got a good group when they're willing to be that upfront with each other. I respect you.
You covered every category, I feel like, of economic development. I think.
I have it here. I can see it on.
What might be helpful too is I can just, let me read to you what, for those of you aren't familiar with the report, you won't care. The 2022, report, part of it includes our accomplishments, challenges, and then, a council goal setting section. So what they're interested in is what issues do you think the council should be thinking about as they go into their annual goal setting? Do you have recommendations about how the issues could be resolved? Council will take this advice into consideration as they prepare for goal setting. Due to the fact that there's a special election, that our recommendations are not going to be reviewed, I don't think, until maybe you can speak to this April or March of next year, do you think?
You mean in terms of goal setting? Excellent question. I've not heard it from the city manager yet.
Okay.
But I'm willing to bet, and I would certainly recommend that they delay goal setting.
Okay.
So they have a new group. So I don't know what the point is in having me set a goal and then leave 3 months later.
Okay.
I think a new group should own their goals.
Right. At first I thought I had to have the whole report done tonight. And so I was like, no. We got a lot to do, but I think this can just be a discussion. I have drafted up some suggestions for accomplishments. You know, I wasn't here until March or April, but my point is that as we're just sort of talking about the documents, we could think about, you know, goals or recommendations for city council, if there's anything in there that we see like. And there are some themes that we've already been talking about, tourism and, you know, home-based businesses and all these other things. But
and for what it's worth, if I might add, I encourage you to be very explicit and very forthright in what you want when you communicate it to us. Because I can't speak for a future council, but I can tell you in the two opportunities that I've had to do this, that we take the feedback from you very seriously. And to the degree you can say we want to do this actual action as opposed to something more general and conceptual, it makes it that much more likely that it could potentially become an actual goal, because we're trying to get at more smart goals, more specific, more measurable, more timely, more achievable. So
that's kind of my goal too, after being here for 8 months, is what I'm finding is economic development covers so much that there's no way for me to be successful doing 8 to 10 different things. So I either need to use some of my budget money, and that's another thing we can look at, but there is, you know, $50,000 that I can use for different things. And so possibly be smart about, you know, hiring somebody to do a little project here and there. Do I need to just say, hey, do the website, I'll give you $5,000. Hey, I want to build a Highway 43 business coalition. I want you to lead it. And I want you to do A, B, and C. Here's an MOU. Here's this amount of money. Here's tourism, you know, these different things. So I'll also be thinking about the budget as I look at sort of your recommendations and we get more clear on next year. But my point is I want it to be like 2 or 3 things that we're working on. And I do have some suggestions, but I think I'd like to hear what you guys have to say too. Because I think that we would just, it would be a better look too if we just had 2 to 3 very specific projects that we're working on, or even just 2, or even just 1. And then we meet possibly at a, you know, every other month as well. Because I realize half the meetings get canceled. I mean, I don't know. I just want it to be effective. And I'd rather just have like a win that really supports, I think, what council already wants us to do, and it also maybe connected to community development and planning. I've talked about this before. But there's the business support piece too. So I think that that can easily just get muddled. And I find that what happens is there's, you know, 7 people on the committee, and then you start to mention all these different things, and it's like, you get kind of off track. So anyhow, I'm just mirroring what you just said, basically. Mm-hmm.
Well, as I read through comments that were provided and read through, it feels like Highway 43 keeps coming up again and again and again, and creating some, I love the idea of a coalition of something that brings those businesses together and looks at ways to connect, because that's the sense I got reading through this over and over. And I thought it was interesting that tourism kept coming up, because we don't necessarily focus on that, but we've talked about the need for focusing on tourism, whether it's looking at the rules for Airbnbs or just B&Bs, short-term rentals, which I did look them up right before I came, and I saw one that is close to my house that I know is not legal. And
didn't someone say they lived in only, there's only one license pulled for Airbnbs in West Bend?
Yeah, but there, no.
But there were 87 listings?
I just did a week in January, and there was one that I've seen, and you probably know the house that was for sale and then wasn't for sale, and suddenly is now an Airbnb, and I'm like, huh, there's no, so, but it feels.
Huh? Russell's here, by the way.
Oh, okay. Great. Oh, well, let's.
I can't see him right now. Russell. Can't see you,
he's
Russell.
Buried right under.
But there he is.
Hey, Russell.
So we want to look at that as a goal of looking at how, and I know just from a real estate point of view, the need for people coming into this neighborhood. And I loved what you were saying about all of the things we have going on in Westland that we're not able to cohesively look at those and encourage people to come, whether we're lacking parking or just advertising. So those two to me, and then I feel like the third issue, which you and I talked about a little bit, is removing those barriers to starting a home-based business, or I mean, I had someone point out to me that she had applied for a business license, and it wasn't for all year. They are renewed, I think, in December, and she had, or I don't know when they're renewed.
They're renewed in June, July. So I think it's
yeah. So she had applied for the license 2 months before then, and then she had to pay for a license again in June. And she said, I don't have that kind of, I had to get a loan in order to get my license. And I just thought that was, I don't know enough about that, but I would love for us to look at, are there barriers to businesses being able to be successful here?
That's a good point, because it's true. I mean, I've never understood what, I think accounting-wise, it's easier for the city if they just do it all in 1 month. Mm-hmm. But most places renew your business license on a year from the date you started.
Exactly.
And I didn't think about it from the financial standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a quirk in the system because they do it all.
Because you could, in June. Yeah. If you signed up in May, then you would have to pay again. Like 2 months.
They prorate it. There is a prorate.
There's a prorated.
But it's still a little bit. I've made a recommendation to do renewals monthly or quarterly, but it's a whole thing. Okay. And I think that we can look at the fee structure. I think that.
But even with the fee, it just the time and energy to ask a business to do it twice instead of once is a barrier.
Yeah.
How
right?
much, what is the cost of a business license?
It depends on if you're inside or outside, if you're home based. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere between 50 and 100. If you're,
depends on how many employees too.
Yeah.
Why are business licenses even needed? Is there any statutory requirement?
Yeah, well, it's an issue that continues to come up in the city, but it's the only way to find metrics for businesses and to support them is what I found out. And so there's sort of like you know, it's kind of this unspoken thing, like with zoning there's so much that we don't generate a lot of revenue, but there's so much that goes into looking at it. That's pretty incredible with planning review and a building review and like to make sure that it's safe. And, you know, there's all these pieces. And then now I think that, you know, I offer some value by giving them, you know, doing outreach and marketing and giving grants and things like that. But yeah, it's, I mean, there's no way to know like who's doing business in Westland. That's the only way that I get metrics is through the citizens or through the licensing system.
I appreciate your question though.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's common to, you know, you need, it's like there's little sort of unspoken things like for the sidewalk cleanup or public works things or police or fire or things like there's sort of an intangible piece to it too. But people do want to have a write up on that. They'd like to have that sort of like, what is the value? Because it's actually cheap. We're really cheap in comparison to other municipalities.
And yeah, I don't feel like it's expensive.
Yeah, but I think there's so much people don't know how much all the departments and people do regarding like looking at a plan review to make it safe. I was a zoning administrator for years, and so I issued all the home occupations, and I had one years ago, and it was cheap, but it's like, I want my neighbor to be regulated, you know? I don't want to get on my whole train right now, just because we could spend a lot of time on that. But it really does help, you know, NIMBY, not my backyard sort of a concept where it's like, oh, well, I'm not worried about it. It really helps to have a home-based or any business really reviewed, you know.
Because if your neighbor starts doing something like, we have this issue with this one lady who gives pool lessons.
Pool, yeah.
Apparently it's very loud and the neighbor keeps complaining. So,
but that's a zoning issue.
I think, yeah, but that comes from the light. So that's how they know whether it's legal or not, is that when they apply for the license, they deny it, saying this is not legal.
There's many steps to getting a business license.
Right, yeah. Here's the thing. So it's the cost, but then all that you're doing, you incur that cost, is you're triggering all these additional like reviews, right? So I mean, like, that's the barrier. Like, the barrier probably isn't like the $200, $250 bucks.
It's not the $50 to $100.
The mentality of like of someone who is like sitting in that position is like, well, why would I ever want to engage the city? Like, it's just going to be a freaking headache. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to send in something to person A, and then person B, C, and D are going to send me back requests for additional information. That's a rabbit hole, but
there's it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, right?
Oh, and I think there's a big percentage of people
exactly. And the way to test them is if you go on Secretary of State, right? Like all the registrations, I think it'd be super interesting to figure out every registered address to Westland versus your business licenses. Yeah. And I bet the gap is dramatic,
like the Airbnb gap.
But
yeah,
I don't want to speak to it because I feel like I need to be neutral, because but I have a lot of opinions about why I think it is beneficial, actually, because you want it's not a barrier to have to understand like what I think what is going on with a neighboring business. It actually supports your overall kind of community logistics, but it's just like, I guess it's like, I've got a different,
it's just a matter of, from my perspective, I think people should just be doing it because they should want to be legal and they want to do the right thing. That's just me.
Well, aren't you charming?
suffice to say, I was going to make the same point. I don't think it's about cost. It's about why do I have to do this? And what am I getting for it? Mm-hmm. And I think we need to have a pretty legitimate response to that. And I'm sure that we do. So I appreciate you raising the question.
Yeah.
And I think that's outside scope for like the mission here.
But it's a barrier. It's a possible barrier. Mm-hmm. We need to kind of figure out what the barriers are. Why don't we have more businesses, more diverse businesses? You know, if that's a possible barrior, we need to.
Yeah, I don't think it is, actually, because people just don't know about it. And then they're like, oh, absolutely. And they just, hey, and then they get connected, and then they find out about all these grants, and then I hear back, it's so great to hear from the city. Like, that's the only way to know about who's going on. You want to know about metrics, or I want to explore a list of these people that live here to get an update about 10th Street improvements, or like, there, it's the only way to understand what's going on in your city.
So maybe,
but that
one of our goals for next year would be looking at each step of starting a business and what is connected and where are people stopping in the process and what can we do to reduce those barriers, right? Whether it's minority owned businesses, women owned businesses, anybody business, what are the barriers? If someone has to come up in 2 months for the cost of a license and then have to do it again, that's a barrier to me. For someone who, as this person said, I'm a single mom. I have no income other than, you know, I'm starting this business and then I have to pay it again. That
it sounds like a small amount, but that was a huge barrier.
It's a barrier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what would be helpful is to write down what you might think barriers are, like we just draft a list and we can kind of look at them specifically. We could do some home ops, and I think people are open to reviewing the fees and doing home ops in perpetuity, or, you know, like doing, changing the way people do renewals.
Just offering a note on, you could just put in during the licensing thing, just a note, if you are having trouble paying this, please contact the finance department and we can plan, or, you know, grants are available or something like that. That's something you can just code into the application process, and so then have a way for people to contact if they are having that kind of a barrier.
I picture, for some reason, I don't ever think of licensing as a barrier, because I think people still just run their business without the license, but I'm not sure.
But then, but why, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason they're choosing, you know, they just want to be in off grid, that's one thing, but if it's a hassle.
But if it's a professional, I think a traditional professional business, I would tend to want to have the license, because that also legitimizes their business.
Right.
So there's something. You've always got the shady.
I just applied for something where I had to show a copy of my business. I feel like there's a lot of legitimate business. It's not optional.
Yeah, they get grant money. You know, you get grant money.
Shannon, excuse the interruption, but you said three things. I only wrote down two. You said you had 3 points you wanted to make. I wrote down.
Oh, dear.
Barriers to starting home-based business.
Yep.
And then in my head, I kind of tied together your point about many people talking about tourism and then Airbnb.
Tourism was a separate.
I think there were the things that I actually emailed you today. It sounds like it was Highway 43 business. These are some of my recommendations.
Tourism, which included Airbnb.
Yes, thank you.
And just looking at that lens of diversity and equity, looking at barriers to starting businesses.
Thank you.
Or maintaining businesses.
What's our process right now? Are you each kind of going around?
Well, we kind of got sidetracked. But
checking in and
I wanted
seeing
people
what different
to
people's priorities are.
I wanted people to speak to the documents. But it actually all ties together, so it doesn't really matter what order we go in. I mean, the report is, you know, we're sort of on the report right now. I emailed Shannon, and Shannon today I mentioned my goals for next year, which are what you spoke to, including some look at home occupations. But it sounds like that kind of is what's coming up, you know.
What about either of you and Russell, are there anything that has read through these that you've come up, feel like would be good goals for next year?
Besides what you spoke about, one thought I kept having was the question of, do we need a hotel? Do we not need a hotel? And I don't know what people's feelings on that are, but I just remember sitting at so many baseball tournaments when all the families would come in and then being like, why do y'all not have a hotel? Like, they're going to the one off of McLaughlin on the river. So, and maybe that's a different customer than an Airbnb, but I think there are some legitimate.
I think you need a hotel.
Because you also have weddings a lot of. I think there's some legitimate reasons that it,
enough toward wineries and
Airbnb. Yeah, and then you don't always want to air. I'm not an Airbnb girl. I don't know.
Well, I know just. I think there, if there are people coming in to look at the area, whether they're coming for a wedding, they're thinking of moving here, there's no place. I know when we moved here 6 years ago, what do you mean there's no hotel?
There's not.
And there wasn't an Airbnb at that time either.
You go to Lake Oswego or you go to.
And you're caught. So it feels like, and you're talking about tournaments and other things as we.
Yeah, so if there's tourism, baseball tournaments, think of all the music, you know, all the people that influx into that. High school extracurriculars, or, you know, there's, I think, opportunity. Anyway,
I think along the waterfront, or I mean, I don't even know where.
When they develop the waterfront, that would be an idea.
That would be fantastic. Yeah.
Because it would, you know, have the falls as an attraction.
So, what would you recommend for if we wanted to take action on that? What would you guys suggest for making that happen? Would you hire somebody, or
Russell's trying to talk?
Oh, poor Russell. How can he keep going?
He texts me.
Russell,
you can talk now.
Well, it was about the hotel and Shannon was the only one there during the meeting when the Clackamas County Tourism came in and they identified Clackamas County as a whole is a tourist destination and the number one need was beds.
Okay.
And we don't have any, just the available capacity for beds and Westland's proximity to the river made it an ideal spot. And then they named all of the tourist, like the outdoor recreation activities of rafting and fishing and camping and everything that's available, but they just don't have capacity in Clackamas County specifically. And Westland was like, so to answer your question, do we really need a hotel? I think this is Clackamas County saying that it's the best spot for one.
Interesting.
What do you guys think? This is kind of crazy, but this is my latest idea. It's like the McLean House is no longer, I think is going through a shift. And I had this thought that it could, because of its connection to Arch Bridge and Historic City Hall, I guess sort of, this is just a side note, but my sort of view and interest is in what's happening down on Highway 43. There's been plenty of, you know, money and support in what's happening in historical Willamette. We don't want to ignore them, but I just think that there's, I want to create some synergy down there and I have these relationships with some business owners down there too that are interested in building a Highway 43 business coalition. And so I just think that I want to focus energy down there, but I keep coming back to McLean House and I'm like, wouldn't that be like the coolest boutique hotel with sort of a historic angle down there? I mean, I don't know what it's going to be used for.
But lose their mind.
But you can have a really boutique hotel with a just, you know, small amount.
Traffic. I don't know. I mean, there's only
like 6 rooms. As you said, there's only so much space.
Yeah.
Place. It's not but very big.
Interesting time.
But it's a nightmare to get in and out of.
Yeah, it just could be a cool, I think it has an opportunity to offer something for tourism for Westland. Mm-hmm. Because there's like, I think Oregon City has a little boutique hotel. You know, it's like those places that only have 4 or 5 rooms.
Yeah, we looked into this substantially when I was on Main Street, when they were building the new building that Handers just built the last couple years. That second floor, they looked into being a boutique hotel.
Yeah.
They need a minimum of 10 rooms to even consider it, which is why otherwise it doesn't pencil. And then it just ended up being, you know, too expensive for them. They just didn't think it was gonna whatever. But there was some interest in doing that. And so we were in talks with a boutique hotel person.
Interesting.
So how should we move forward? Like, how do we make it happen? I guess I'm kind of focused on like action points to like,
I think that the waterfront development is the best place. So just getting it to be in the talks, because in CCI, we just assigned 2 working groups to deal with one for Highway 43 and then one for the waterfront. So I would say, I think we did appoint an EDC member for both things. I know we did for 43 because it was really important. And I think we did end up adding it. It wasn't originally suggested, but we added an EDC member for the waterfront. Council still has to, I guess, prove that what our recommendation, but that's what we recommended. If you have someone there as a voice when all that planning is going on, that would be probably the best place for that. It's trying to work with the consultants to, you know, when they do all their mock-ups of what it could look down there, include a hotel there and get people to start buying in. And then you got to find who that is. But if you were the public to really want it, you know, that's always going to look better to developer for it.
And what about short-term rentals in Westland, which is right now just limited to an extra room or an extra building? But I know Clackamas County is looking at their, they're actually creating regulations for unincorporated Clackamas County because there are no regulations right now, and creating a system. But it feels like if there isn't a hotel, people who do like to rent a home aren't able to do that really very well in Westland. And
so looking at the code, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
The code doesn't allow for short-term rentals unless it's an owner is on the site, or
because it could cause a lot of issues. I don't know
if
people want it, so you would have to go to the citizens first to get
But we could also go, and I know another thing that's on the docket, the planning docket for next year already, is ADUs, because ADUs are a good way to have Airbnbs, because you'll have the main house have people living there, and then they rent out the ADU. I don't know if it's going to be smaller than some of the whole house, right. But that would be a way to expand that and to expand affordable living as well.
Do you know if other municipalities have like tourism committees, or like, I know there's tourism coordinators, or tourism is actually like one piece of the economic development department. But if we choose that as like something to focus on, I'd like to kind of hone the description of what it is specifically that we want to do, and then like keep that kind of.
Well, EDC, on the you document. Could always have, when I first started on EDC, we did have a couple subcommittees where we worked on different projects.
Okay.
We could create a subcommittee.
Did you have a question? Because I was thinking that would be great to have like 2 or 3 subcommittees for next year, mm-hmm. and just have it be the business support. We're working on all this, and that's happening. And then the Highway 43 Business Coalition, or Highway 43 rezoning, and then tourism. And maybe that's kind of my list. But anyhow, sorry, Russell, were you going to say something?
So we were talking about what would it take to encourage a developer to build a hotel. You said action items. One thing that I would identify as an action item would be addressing the code and the current restriction that we have on number of stories. Like, based off my understanding of the current code, the hotel, the Best Western in Oregon City, wouldn't be allowed in Westland because it's too tall. And so you're going to try to convince a developer to come build a hotel that's no more than, was it 2 stories, 3 stories, whatever it is, it's going to be very small.
And so I think this piece will connect with some of the work in Highway 43 too, with the rezoning. And so we need to have the planning department. I think they're planning, no pun intended, coming early next year. Maybe we wait until council's budget to talk about these projects, because Chris wants me to connect with some of the business owners, and you know, they're hiring consultants, and it would be great if we had some of these subcommittees and work groups happening, having a great synergy and already having ideas about what they want, and then they can speak to the consultant. But that's kind of how I see the EDC. It needs to be more, it just is so generalized, just economic development. I was like, let's just have a few subcommittees, but we could mention that when we talked to planning, then we're added to.
Yeah, and I think these are all things, like I said, are already on the docket for next year, which is good. So we would be, I don't think there would, whatever council is there would have a problem approving these goals, because they're already things that they are going to be working on next yeah. year.
And they're all the same themes that come up for all these other documents as well. So
that said, I think we appreciate when you highlight something. Because take last year, for example, we have 20 some goals on there, but we should be able to articulate 6 to 8 mm-hmm. that are our priorities. So the degree to which you say, I know you're working on these 3, 4 things, we think that one's most important. Encourage you to do that. Mm-hmm. Feel welcome to add your own input indicating what you prioritize. That'll help.
It's almost like if we had a tourism subcommittee and it had a specific mission statement that we want to, you know, do this, this, and this, I think would be amazing. And we could talk to, you know, talk to Oregon City and see what's worked for them. And they have some specs on their website, and they have a specific tourism coordinator. But I do think, yeah, that's should be a priority. Anyhow, we're kind of all over the place, but it's fine by me. Do you want to speak to your list, or?
No, I think I have a lot of alignment with everything that you said. I think what's important is just that there's like quantitative metrics. And so like we're talking about tourism, it's like, what is the tourism dollars spent in our community? If we can baseline that and say the objective of this tourism working group is to increase the tourism spend in our community, right? And we're going to track that each year, right? We can actually see if our interventions are making progress or not. And then I think some of those, you know, I think this lodging issue is a great example of something where I think all of us brought that up fairly independently, but if it's like we want to tackle that issue, I think the discussions with developers and say, hey, what do you want? Like going into a developer, a boutique or otherwise, hotel developer, and asking them, what do you want the zoning to look like in order for you to just be dying to come here? And that doesn't mean that the group would have to endorse that, but I think like that is a super valuable question to go back to Shannon's on stuff you said and what Russell said. And so the notes that I provided were just meant to suggest like, hey, here are some very quantitative metrics, most of which were already in the EOR that other report. Yeah, so we know that it's possible to get that data. A lot of it is public data. Probably the hardest one to get is actually the tourism spend.
Yeah.
Right. And I think so, you know, some of those other metrics are the one concern I guess I maybe have about some of the discussion is on both the it is around tax base, right? So that features fairly prominently in the comp plan, but I think a lot of the discussions that have been had around home-based business and some of these other things don't actually build tax base. And so that tax base is going to be tied back to assessed real estate value. I think that is sometimes getting lost a little bit. Like there's lots of things that we can do that are easy because we don't have to tackle that development question, which is a big hairy question. But a lot of those ideas aren't actually aligned with the intent of the comp plan around economic development. So in any case, I think like I'm not going to be on the committee for next year, but I think I just wanted to put forward, hey, here are some ideas of some quantitative things so that performance can be measured and we know if our interventions are having an impact or not, or else it's a lot of energy being spent and not actually moving the needle.
Yeah, and like Russell's point, you know, increasing the building heights, we're talking about trying to increase the tax base. If we can get 3 or 4 story buildings, we can get, especially on 43, when we talk about the rezoning, we could have commercial on the bottom, so we give place for businesses with, you know, a couple living space, and you've got much more expensive property now that you can tax.
And I think the other thing that was really telling to me is if you look at on LoopNet of like what's for sale in terms of commercial real estate right now, there, and I don't know, like I was just reading out last week, but like that Merrill First Commons is for sale. And it's like an acre, the lot is like an acre, 1.4 acres, right? It's low rise, single level. Like you can back the envelope, the math on that pretty quick. If you didn't go up 3-4 stories, like that, that is a very valuable parcel, right? And it's very cheap on a per foot of land base. That Senor Taco Perfecto Cleaners, like that corner, is for sale right now. And so it's like, yeah, so like you go and like it would be fascinating to go talk to those brokers. There's that medical property in Willamette that's for sale. And so it's, yeah, but it's like if you go talk to the brokers, like why is this not moving? What would attract this to move for redevelopment? I think you would get some pretty interesting, you know, tidbits of data. And so I think like that's at least some of the data that would help round out the discussion, because fundamentally the policy is important, but someone's going to have to write the check, right, to come forward with $5-10 million to do that work if a hotel is going to be built or whatever it is. And so hearing from those folks that are going to be writing that check, I think may be prudent.
I know that there's a huge concern. I mean, I hear this over and over again as another barrier. We can't keep businesses because the rent is so expensive, in developing these parcels, but keeping that in mind that the businesses that have to come in can afford to actually rent that space.
Well, and part of that does go back to the tourism, though. It's because we don't have people in town to support those businesses. So if you get money from outside, like my business would never exist if I had to rely on just Westland customers coming in, right? It's like it only sells so many sunglasses that every person. So that's where you need people from out of the city coming. That's how you support the other businesses. Tourism is what's going to best support your businesses, because that's outside money coming in and not relying on the neighborhood income.
Yeah. Were you going to say something, Russell?
I was just going to argue that, yeah, tourism does support businesses, but to, I think it's Elena that said the rents are high and that's prohibitive. Like, as I was going through that report from 2016, it showed a couple of listings from LoopNet. Those listings are still available.
Yeah.
Or if anybody went out and looked, but they're $3 per square foot more. And so, and then if you do a search for the same business location, retail or office, and you just pick Oregon City downtown, you're going to save $3,000 a month. And if you're a new business, where are you going to go? $3,000 a month is another employee.
But we can't do anything to control that.
Right. That's what my question is.
We can't control that, but we can control supply, right? So carrots and sticks, like, we can't go and tell the developers or the landowners that they're going to lease below whatever rate they want to lease for. But if we can increase the zone that allows for more supply that would drive the prices down, that would be beneficial for us, right?
And I don't know enough about this, but I always think a subsidized, like, working space or studio space building would be very cool too, that was had affordable rent, you know, and also, you know, just maybe a spot for, like, home-based businesses to connect. I keep thinking about these spots down on Highway 43.
And no one uses it. There's one on Willamette Falls Drive across from Willamette Garage Drive.
Oh,
is it one space that's been there for, what, 2 years now?
Not familiar.
Shannon corrected me when I claimed there's no co-working. I was very indignant about it.
and people don't do that 95% of the time. People do that. And now, it may be she's not.
How do you, is it like a monthly, or do you, the kids just walk in and pay?
It's like a drop in. Yeah,
okay. She's not doing my office there.
She doesn't do any long-term rentals. I think she does like a subscription where you can, you know, drop in whenever you want. You pay for the month and you can drop in whenever you want. But it's not like you have your office spaces.
Yeah.
But it has a conference room, it has workspaces, yeah. And then it has an extra room that is separate that you could use. And that may be marketing, maybe the reason no one knows about it, but it's there. But she built it because there felt like there was a demand, because there wasn't anything here, and then COVID hit, so that didn't help. But the space is there, but people aren't using it.
Nobody uses it.
Yeah, and there was a co-work space over by Park Rose.
There was one.
What was that? My husband used it because it was a subscription. You could go anywhere.
The 205 building, I think.
Yeah, and he would go there, and he'd be the only one there. And he would his company had a subscription, so he could kind of choose to go wherever, and that was the closest one to us. And he would go there. And unlike Portland, which had all this fun, funky co-work spaces and music, and there's a coffee shop. I mean, yeah. Fun and lively. That I don't know how to make that happen here in Westland, but it hasn't.
But maybe there's not a need.
Maybe enough people are home based already.
We figured out how to do it at home.
One thing I discovered in my survey, you know, again, it was a very small percentage of people that answered, but actually, in relationship to other surveys we've done, you know, where there's 26,000 people and only however many people answer, I think I was like I had like a 6 to 8%, you know, ratio is, but most of the people were, it was 70% were home-based businesses. And so the feedback was a lot of those businesses want to meet and connect with each other. There's sort of this desire. So I'm hoping, and that's why I put that on my list as well, and it shows up in other documents too, is to create some sort of, you know, mixer, some sort of event where they can, you talk about livability and, like, you know, what are the things that are in the community that we can already, like, support and, you know, use. And there's so many interesting people. I'd love to have them represented almost in their own sort of studios. I can't quite picture, it's like almost like a collective, so that they can, you know, p- people can find it. It's like, again, it's sort of tourism too. Like, what are all the cool things that are happening at Westland? I almost want like a welcome center. I think the McLean House could be like just this cool little spot, you know, and I can have my office there. The chamber can be there. I don't know, the historic, it can connect somehow to City Hall, but that's just sort of this keeps brewing in my mind. And it could be like a very cool event space too. It doesn't have to be weddings, you know.
I think when the Willamette Falls Heritage people take over City Hall, there is supposed to be like kind of an art museum or something like that, right? In there.
Yeah.
In theory. Yes.
Yeah.
And a community space.
And a community space. I think there's opportunity, and you know, and I'm sure there's other buildings too. And back to your point is, how do we find out, you know, what's actually happening on the ground? Do you guys feel like we, you know, sort of interested in using dollars to hire not big consultants and spend a lot of money, but like doing these mini projects, you know, in target areas that might help us achieve, you know, get the data, get them connect, you know, can create a little project and like, hey, like this is what we need, this is what the information, because I can't do it all. So it's sort of like, but I do have some dollars. So can we create a scope of work and hire somebody to do, you know, do some of this on the ground work, get out there and meet everybody and do an event, connect them and get the metrics or, you know, whatever.
Like I think that all of the CAGs could be better working together. I think we never know what's going on. The only way I know what's going on is because I'm married and I listen to everything. But like the Arts and Culture Commission, I think, is doing like a local artist show inside the library. So like, you know, we knew that was going on, we, you know, promote that and help find business. You have who's local artists probably in your database of home-based businesses. You probably have a lot of artists, but
yeah,
how are they going to find out about the Arts and Culture Commission thing? Like, we tackled that. We knew that was going on as EDC, working with the Arts Commission to try to find, you know, people to help do that. I mean, that's why I think there should be more synergy between.
Yeah, I think that's why I've tried to create some team marketing meetings between partners too, and make sure that, you know, it's like, well, send me your information if you want me to market that, and you know, I send it out, and it's like, again, if I had that information, it's like the women, I finally got all the women owned business groups that are happening in town connected. Shatrine with the chamber is doing several things, you've got this cool thing, I get questions all the time. Well, it's like, oh, okay, this is, and this will be on hopefully like a new sort of, you know, website page eventually. But it's like those kinds of things. It's like, oh, so that, yeah, if there was a call to artists, like that should go out in my business newsletter. You know, those kinds, I agree with you. I sort of wish this committee could almost be more like a community development committee that meets as needed. And then there's active subcommittees or there's work groups or something, just so that it's like whatever we're doing is more focused. I've been kind of throwing out ideas. I'm still.
I say you make a motion, Shannon.
For what?
Yeah.
To get the CAGs to work together. I'll second it.
I've been trying to push that at CCI. But I'm forced to not do that in CCI, so I'm working on that part.
Yeah. It's almost like even if there was like a protocol, you know, a formulaic protocol that it's sort of like formalizing agendas too. It's like, just this is what we need to find out each month so that we can like support. I'm open to discussing, and I love collaboration, and I try to do that here too. And so I build team meetings with different people so that we can be more effective, because, you know, sometimes that it just takes a, you have to create a protocol for communication. It takes a lot of effort, but it's the same with CitizenServe and other departments that work in that, but also creating reporting. Oh, monthly, download these reports, and it goes to the chamber, that goes here. Then I'm working on a like an outreach, sort of a welcome packet for new business owners that is actually going to be, there'll be a printed version, but also through email. It's like, it just becomes formulaic. That's my goal, and like writing down sort of like a manual of how to do this position, and it might change over time, and it might be that this is the business support stuff. It's like kind of like this is community development, this is the economic development, but yeah. So I kind of, I know this position's been new, but yeah.
I'll make the motion for the rest. I would like to move that you let someone, maybe John, just counsel, that we would like the CAGs to work more together so that, you know, it's a synergy, the different groups to get word out there. Because I also
thought more communication is what you're speaking about. Yeah.
Because like the sustainability board too, they do a lot of stuff, and they have, they might be able to put together a list of businesses that are sustainable. So sustainable focused businesses, that's something the sustainability board could do if we working with them. So these are why I think all of the community groups should be working together and knowing what each other's doing.
So can I just ask about the chamber?
The chamber of events?
For the businesses, is it ineffective?
You know, there's a long history with the chamber that I'm partially aware of, but it is, I feel like it is becoming more and more effective, and there's been some very cool things. Katrina and I are working together, and I feel like there's synergy definitely happening there. We're planning some cool events for next year, one in connection with the marketing and technical grant that is sort of the next round of funding that businesses want help with writing business plans and social media and all these different things. And so we're going to do an event that bring together all the partners, you know, BISO and Small Business Development Center, all these different things. And but she is, we're working hard because there's been no, they've been siloed. A lot of the partners have been doing things on their own because there's been no in this position. So it's sort of like, well, how can I support you and your work? But she did the Westland Wellness Fair, and she's got other events happening. But I would like,
they have a business passport out right now.
Yeah.
Visit all the businesses and get stamps in.
I would like all the businesses to be in a directory right away, and then if they want to pay more to be in the chamber, you know, do that. And
what they're working on right now is to figure out how to be value added.
That's what needs to happen.
So that businesses will say, I want to be a part of you. Yeah. Because, we don't have that tradition in Westland.
No.
Businesses saying, I want to be a part of the chamber because there's something in that for me.
But yet you keep hearing that they want to connect, right? You're hearing that businesses want to connect and want to, you know, synergize and stuff. So it seems
like, I think the chamber's cost prohibitive has been the biggest issue. I mean, it's like $500.
It is.
That's why I would like to have anyone that registers for a business license automatically become a member and get into the directory and all these other things, that these maps, and then they can pay more. Todd?
I want to go back to your suggestion about talking to the other community advisory groups. If you were to do that, and I'm saying if, because to be honest with you, it's a challenge to get people on community advisory groups and then to get them to actually show up at meetings, to be frank. But if you were to do this, I think the appropriate timing would be this. After each of the groups has set their goals. Russ, can you hear me okay? Okay. After each of the groups has.
I can't see you, but I can hear you.
But
there's my head.
But before city council meets, I can see value in that. If you had a single event where you invited all of them. Now, I don't know who will come. I guess we'll find out if you want to stage a dance. But if you had a single event where you asked members of all community advisory groups to come after they've set their individual goals, so that you have an opportunity for each of the groups to tell the others, here's what we've set for ourselves for 2023, and to give people an opportunity to go, and I really want to talk to that group. And this group say, I really want to talk to that group because I see some synergy or I see some overlap in what we want to do. And if that meeting were structured well, you know, with some very specific measurable objectives, that's what you come out of it, it could be very powerful for the city council heading into their goal setting. If not only they received the goals from each of the groups, but the groups had a chance to talk to each other and figure out where their overlap is, and even have more of this combined voice of, we collectively, here are some things we really want to do.
Well, we all come together for that training meeting.
Yeah, but who really goes to that? It's not
very many. Especially if you've gone through it.
Yeah, not very many people go to that. I think you've got to convince people that
there's a reason to do this. There'll be value in this one-time gathering, especially if we feed you. Make it a lunch, make it a dinner, whatever, but say, and but really explain to people what the purpose of this is, why we're doing this. That could be an interesting thing to try this spring.
So can we put that, well, you have to second my motion. Russell.
I second your motion.
We gotta vote on my motion. And if we vote on our motion, maybe we put that in the goals, in our goals that we want to have a meeting, all of the CAGs, so we can see where we can work with each other.
Okay. I can add in, I'll do a draft. A draft report. I mean, I have one started, but I'm making notes and then maybe we can look at it again.
And this is something that you can take to John Williams sooner rather than later. We don't need to wait for your goals for that. And it's something if you want, when we do our council reports on Monday night, if you want me to, I can bring it up Monday night. Say that it's something you talked about, but you let me know if you want me to do that or not. You would.
I'd be interested in just the actual logistics of it. So, you know, maybe again, like to formulate, like, well, and that there would be an agenda and maybe a structure to that group meeting. It's like, okay, well, this is how the EDC would benefit from hearing about what the arts people are doing. You know, maybe it's an agenda item, or again, it's just, it doesn't have to be this big crazy meeting where we talk about nothing. It can be also a protocol, like system about how people just communicate. I think that that's sometimes what's missing.
I mean, it could just be a meet and greet, because I don't think, you know, it's just meeting up people anyway.
Yeah.
Everybody has good ideas.
Yeah. Before we move on to like the next topic, I just want to, I think this connects the wayfaring and branding project that's listed in the American Rescue Plan budget. Do you guys agree that that's, again, that's sort of tourism related? Are you interested in moving that project forward or working, helping support that?
That has grant funding already, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Too, along with what the city's doing, but Main Street had grants for that wayfaring.
I'm not sure about what is separate than what's listed here.
Main Street did get grant funding years ago for a signage, and it was just never prioritized by the city. So,
oh, okay.
But it's still sitting there.
So it's just sitting there, just money unspent in that grant fund.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a line item here or not.
But yeah, especially if there's already money for,
yeah,
it,
I mean,
say, push it through.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of would like to have it be sort of like a kind of
thing. Probably goes just away at some point.
Yeah, no.
It's like a gift card. If you don't spend it, it's
yeah. I just think it sort of connects to this whole tourism piece. So I'd like to bundle that in maybe like a subcommittee kind of concept and focus it. I have a few sample. I actually have a couple business owners that are interested in that too, who sent me sample projects from other municipalities. Very cool, very inclusive, you know, using different languages and things like that. So anyway, I just think that that would be.
Does everybody know what you're talking about?
A cool project to move forward.
Talking about the video for how many years?
Yes. So I think if we're gonna write some goals for tourism specifically, I would say the video and a web page, but I would like to see like I see a lot of cities have a things to do thing and no option on their city pages.
Yeah.
And granted, I tend to be looking right now at a lot of city websites because I'm looking at a big vacation property and I'm going to, looking at their zoning, so I'm going to their website, but they tend to be very touristy places. But they always have things to do. And so we have a things to do page. That would be a tourism.
Yeah, I have tourism listed. And then I have the business support piece that we talked about. And then I have Highway 43.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a huge need for coalition on 43, because we've talked about food trucks, we've talked about the mixed use commercial. I mean, it seems like we've talked about so many different things on 43 that a coalition would be key to getting those things actually happening.
Well, they are working on that.
Yeah.
Already gotten.
I think what I've heard from the businesses down there is they will, again, they also want to meet each other, sort of like the way historic Main Street has got a lot of connectivity. And so I think the owner of the Westland Retail Center is interested in, we're talking about starting a couple of events down in there's the Salty Runner or Lynn City Pub, or starting to create like a monthly gathering and invite all the businesses down there, and then have it connect to this working group, or maybe there's like a representative from the coalition that's on the working group, and just start to like talk about all these different pieces. And so I think that I think that just would be a cool thing to keep going with the EDC. You know, these, we're just doing tourism, Highway 43 business stuff, and then, you know, maybe this entrepreneurism, just working with breaking barriers and the equity piece too. Maybe we can hone what that looks like, because that's, I don't know, I think I get into all these other things, like the larger conversation of economic development, and just gets kind of like all over the place. So
yeah. And I think on that 43 project, there's actually two of the people that own the big shopping centers on 43 that are going to be appointed to that committee, and two business owners. That's why I was asking you, Russell, if you would wanted to do that. I'd get on it. But yeah, so maybe as our bullet point, it is to make sure that the economic development piece is very considered in any of that.
I wouldn't mind being on there. I have always championed that we redo Highway 43 since I started on the EDC, and I happen to be business owner on Highway 43. I'm
very cool.
Slightly biased.
Would you guys be interested in if I drafted up some language? You know, it'll be in the minutes, some of this conversation, but then maybe creating a separate document that's like has a mission statement and maybe specific bullet points under these three. Well, I mean, not to get too crazy, but we have time since council's not going to be looking at this for a couple months. We could really refine it. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to bring planning, maybe Chris Myers, he's leading the Highway 43 project. And so, you know, we're going to chat and talk about, you know, told him about these ideas and some of the business owners that I've met through the facade grant program, and just what I've heard from the Westland Wellness Fair, this business. I want to meet people, all these different things. But I'd like to get some of these other departments. I also like to get the chamber and sort of wanting to come and do updates too. So that's what I'm thinking early next year. Okay. All right, this is good. Can I just pass out? I just want to make sure we have time to look at the 2021 report that you guys did, and then think about challenges for this year if we need to address those. We're talking about goals, we've been doing that, but I also wanted to just review what I think are accomplishments, and maybe you could say you agree or you don't. So we can add to it.
Which email is the 2021 plan in?
2021, I don't believe.
It's not it today.
I think
this is the same.
Yes. Okay. Here's a copy. Did I put 21?
We
have 21.
Does
Todd need my copy? I don't think I emailed that one, Todd. I'm sorry. I think that's the template. But then here is also my draft accomplishments. I just read them, but here's a copy or two. So the EDC, it met 8 times this year. I concluded November. It wasn't like technically a meeting, but you know, it felt like maybe it's sort of productive. I can leave that off. 4 meetings were canceled due to lack of quorum, and then my family emergencies, and you know, I had some sickness. So I apologize for that. 2022 accomplishments, advised on criteria for the ARPA grants for the business community, business recovery grant, and facade grant. Created preliminary strategy for creating Westland tourism videos, planned to complete in spring of 2023. EDC advised on business support strategies. I know this was kind of general, but I didn't really have specific minutes on it, but it came up throughout like every meeting. So I included that, and you're welcome to give me feedback here again. This isn't final. We'll be talking about it again. Supported work for proposed tax increment finance district by nominating committee member Michael Burner to advise on the TIF advisory committee. We discussed and offered feedback on proposed TIF. I felt like that was helpful. A conversation with John Williams last month was really helpful as well. I was going to add something just about that November work session, sort of what came out of it, if anything. And then built relationship with me. New. There's been no one in this position for 9 years.
We were both on this. HB 2000, wasn't that this year?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yes. And so the code amendment group that we're on every agenda, should I include that?
Yeah, that's an accomplishment.
Okay.
Yes.
I was going to ask.
A lot of meetings for us.
So what would the language be? I can just borrow it from an agenda.
Karen, did you put my bullet on?
I apologize. I didn't see it. And I was like, I'm going to let them just tell me what to put. I can just grab it from an agenda item. But
just like represented. And it represented the EDC on the code amendments,
working group,
whatever it was called.
Working group.
Well, there you had two different ones. You had like the.
They just blended together.
No, it was
the HB 2000.
Yeah, it was all the same working group, but we worked on a couple of different code packages.
Okay, I'll make it nice and I'll create something nice and fancy and you can look at it.
But I think you want position.
Oh, thank you.
It was positive.
I hope so. I don't know. Sometimes I was like, I don't know if we did anything. And then I was like, slowly making progress, I feel like.
Yeah.
I hope to refine the job description a little bit more so that I know what I'm doing and my internal and external stakeholders know what I'm doing. And we could, you know, I think by the time I've been here, you'll will be more deliverables to be completely honest. And I'd like to touch on this briefly, but we don't need to spend a lot of time. The facade grant program is quite complex and it takes up a lot of time. And I think it's a good thing, but it's also, we have to really think about grants too, because like you mentioned before, they take up a lot of staff time and it's hard to get things done.
Yeah.
I took up a lot of EDC time to raise Beacon's grants. Thank you everyone for your patience this year. So that was time.
Did you say a grant rant?
Yeah, my monthly grant rant.
Anyhow, okay, so please give feedback and challenges, happy to include, and then goal setting. Looks like we're making progress there. But.
I mean, I think that probably the challenge would be, you know, change of staff. Just because you kind of had to learn all over again, kind of a thing. And so we've had a couple meetings just. Getting you caught up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, not nothing, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's a huge learning curve here. There's just, you know, looking back, there's, you know, I think it was 2013 there was someone in this position, but
yeah. So
yeah.
I mean, we always have challenges in the summer. I think that's when the bulk of stuff we don't meet because of form issues.
What do you guys think about meeting every other month? Do you think that there could be benefit in 2 hours?
Just the continuity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honest.
I'm going to make the suggestion only because I've made it to every group that I liaison for. If you're going to have a monthly scheduled meeting, which is a, you know, regular, everyone knows we meet on this time. I think that's very good, but I also think it's very healthy to not meet just to meet.
Yeah.
And if there's nothing of significance or importance in that particular month, something that can't easily be held over to the following month, and say we don't need to meet this month.
Okay.
Because people are going to get frustrated, and I'm being honest now. And some of the feedback we've gotten from people, not this group actually, to be honest with you, but from others, where people say, "I'm not even sure where we met," because it seems like someone set an agenda just because we were supposed to meet, so we had an agenda. So. And then, of course, you want to balance that against, you know, the loss of continuity, as you're saying. So there's a balancing act there.
But. Yeah. And I think, too, like sometimes I think the time might be more valuable when even just like a micro group or an email thread or committee. But I know that we have to stay legit with forums and minutes and documenting things. But if you ever come up with a creative new way to think about things, like I love thinking outside the box, too, if there is a way to have our meeting out on the ground maybe at some point, or just take an action item, and you know, maybe that happens with the tourism video. We decide there's half of the committee is gonna do that, and maybe they're gonna get it, you know, spend their time a different way as opposed to just sitting and talking about it.
We have to go out and meet with businesses, I mean, one time, so.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Well, we did that with the, like I said, the subcommittee, so you could do that where you have the subcommittees doing work and then not regular meeting and then the subcommittees reporting.
Okay, and do they have to be a quorum in like?
No, subcommittees don't have to have a quorum, and then they're not recorded meetings either.
Okay, because I think too, yeah, you're doing, there's all this cool work that it's almost like you're doing a subcommittee.
Do you think it's gonna be less than four in a subcommittee though, probably?
I should know, and I don't.
And we have.
I think it would have to be three people in that subcommittee, because if you have four, then you do have a quorum. So then it doesn't have to be noticed.
Okay, I'll look into that, maybe talk to John about that.
One idea, like if you have like a tourism subcommittee, three people, other three people are like Highway 43. Highway 43 goes and meets with like McMinnville, Oregon City, Lake Oswego, tourism, you know, whatever that group is. I think that the best meetings were ones where there was like content to discuss. And so like even like, this is like the TIF PowerPoint, not that that was like the most amazing thing.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, but at least we like had content. I thought that this was awesome with the email that went out earlier today. It's like, here's some of the different perspectives like on paper. And so like using that concept, even in November, if we had met, but we just spent that time reading through it and asking questions and saying, hey, we're not coming up, like this is just like ideation and we're gonna read. And like the objective of this is we're each gonna read this and we're dedicated this hour. Like, I think that could be an interesting way where it's like every other meeting, 1 month, everyone goes out in the community, they come back with data, facts, information. Then there's an action on that. The next month, maybe it's a working meeting where everyone has, you know, their papers that they're gonna read and discuss.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe like every other.
I've also liked the idea of having one meeting almost be just one topic. Like, I feel like we're getting a lot done because I don't have to speak through and give you updates. Not that I'm trying to hide. It's like one meeting could just be about tourism strategy. We're gonna do this. And then the next meeting we're getting out and I have the thing scheduled for the video and this, you're writing the script and then it happens and then it, or we keep the three subcommittees just always on the agenda. But I like what you're saying.
I think we can also, I mean, if there's an opportunity, I know with the Clackamas EDC, we have a speaker almost every month that is talking to one of the goals. And I have learned so much from having, it could be a speaker talking about tourism. But we talk, you know, but any of these issues like the TIF was very interesting to me because I didn't know anything about it.
I really liked last month's meeting. But yeah, maybe like the tourism coordinator from Oregon City could come, or somebody from Travel Oregon, or Estacada or something.
Yeah.
Or again, if we say focus, I'm not going to get, it's, we can get.
Because the Clackamas County tourist person is supposed to give us support.
Yes.
Okay.
I appreciate what you're saying about how the meetings are structured. And I'll use this opportunity to yet again, give you some feedback we've gotten from community advisory groups generally. And that is sometimes some frustration with, I don't want to meet once a month, just to listen to a staff person update me. You just tell me stuff.
Okay.
Because they're supposed to be advisory groups where we're learning from you, not us reporting to you. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate what you're saying, Michael, and to the degree, and you know, we don't want to put labor on you, but to the degree that when you have updates, you can just get those to the group in writing.
Right.
To say, hey, here's my monthly update and what's going on. And a paragraph on each thing or whatever it is, so people feel informed. But like you're saying, have two, ideally maybe one thing that's on the agenda that month where you're actually doing something concrete and genuinely providing feedback. And like you said too, let's be honest, not everyone that attends a community advisory group does reading ahead of time, not because they don't care, just because they're busy.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to actually build time into the agenda, say we got 90 minutes, I'm gonna give you 20. Just to read this stuff, and we're all going to shut up intentionally.
Yeah,
no, intentionally. This is quiet time. This is time for you to actually read the stuff. I think we're going to have a better chance getting people to actually attend when A, they feel like I've got time to look at material, and B, I feel like there's value in me being there.
And we talked about value added for businesses to join a chamber, and I'm talking about value added for being on the community advisory group. That I can walk away after meeting and go, I helped. They asked for some feedback on something and I gave it, and I think, and I can see where it's moving and going direction. Mm-hmm. That would be really nice.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like too, I'm already just thinking like maybe just getting a couple people related to tourism, bringing the chamber, bringing Circle in, bringing somebody from Oregon City and having that on January's mm-hmm. agenda, just having it, you know,
that's what the topic is for that month.
Say, hey, these are the things that we're thinking about. We're thinking about formulating a subcommittee, you know, and also I could take 20 minutes to write the script during, I could make it a work session too, and then it would actually happen, as opposed to feeling like I walk away with like 10 more projects that I can't complete, you know.
I think the most useful that I have seen, and Shannon led this, but when we were looking at the code for food trucks, and we had something specific for that meeting to look mm-hmm. at, to discuss, mm-hmm. to recommend to council, and we walked away with, okay, these are the changes we want to make. And that, and then to see that appear as the Willamette Garage has been really satisfying. Mm-hmm.
Well, like he said, you move the needle.
Yeah.
We can meet several times and accomplish nothing. But when you focus on something, you actually accomplish something.
This is what we're going to
do. Yeah. So if, you know, a meeting's focus on one of our objectives, on one of our goals, that's how we're going to. Effective, one way to be effective.
Yeah, I think if you did have like two subcommittees and each one, like, and I don't know if this is like for the Merrillhurst one or, you know, or Highway Boards or whatever I want to call it, but like if the objective there was economic development is the ratio of like households to jobs, right? And then we just keep coming back to asking ourselves, is like, is this intervention going to move the needle there? Like, does the wayfinding, is that going to increase tourism spend in our community? And not that you're going to know exactly, but I think using that lens helps to filter out what interventions are warranted or not. And also if you do something, you're like, wow, like that didn't yield any new dollars in tourism spend, it's like, maybe we don't do that again. So I think that's just the one thing that I think would be super valuable, is getting something like quantitative that, even if we don't have the hard data, you can just use it as a decision lens for like, should we be doing this or should we not? And having clarity of purpose too, that our aspiration is to increase the number of jobs to households in our community. Our aspiration is to increase tourism spend, whatever that is.
We're going to miss Michael's voice.
Oh, we are going to miss his
voice. You guys are going to miss the grants rant.
Very much so.
The data lens, we have appreciated.
I mean, I think that's good if you wanted to put one of those kind of solid things in the goals of like increase job, you know, ratio of jobs to number of households or whatever, like as a goal that we want to do, you know, I think that's a good.
Josh mentioned it too, didn't he, in his write-up?
Looking at jobs or supporting businesses, what is our.
Well, they could be multiple goals. That's, but if we have to give goals to council.
It's a super important question though, I think, because like those are, can be very different things. Like the most efficient way to just like build jobs is very different than probably like just, hey, we're going to make individual business owners feel better about being in Westland, right? Yes. Or support them in their entrepreneurial journey, because there's probably, so like, and this goes back to like Brian Conan, right? Like paper plant, right? So 200 jobs, go ask Brian, hey, what would it take for you to add another 50 to 100 people? Like what prevents that? And I think he would probably have some ideas, and he would love to be running all those paper machines, right? But like that's something like, boom, you can add 50 jobs pretty quickly that are like working wage. Not that that's the right intervention, but.
That's where I almost would like a specific consultant or something. Not, consultant's not the right word, but someone to work on that specific project. It was clear, like, okay, I mean, how do you do that? You know, I mean,
well, what is
to be like a
never
job description. I mean, it's like
talked about in the past, but never have done, is trying to give incentives to bring businesses here. To waiving fees and cities have the ability. That's the only way cities really have the ability to bring.
So, but think about business support activity, right? So like all the business support is not guided by the lens of changing the ratio of jobs to households. I don't think right now, like that's not the mandate necessarily. I'm not saying that it should be, but if you did use that lens, there's probably 80% of the current business support activities that potentially aren't warranted if that was your sole criteria. And so it's like, just focus on the things that will drive change. And so it's like, there are 5 conversations that you can have to start.
Yeah, I'd be curious, and if you guys wanted to expound on that, maybe send me something. Because I don't want to send anything general to council, just like I'd like it to actually have sub bullets.
Yeah.
So with an action plan, or like, we're going to do this to like, I think the general. It just could go to the ether.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. We're going to run out of time here. Do you guys want to just continue this conversation? January, I could draft up sort of feedback. I think we want to probably make a motion on the goals before we submit it to council, which we're not going to do tonight, but.
Next month, I guess.
Yeah.
We have a quorum. That's always the problem.
Yeah,
well, you're going to appoint people, right? So we should have a quorum.
I actually haven't looked at how many applicants you have.
I think there's 3 for 3 positions. I don't know.
We have 3 this time? Yours, John's. What's the 3rd?
Josh Cheney.
Josh is his open?
Wait, is there just 2 or is there 3?
You can't ask a question on my question.
I know. There was 2, but then John Robinson is no longer with us. And I thought it was true, but maybe I have it. Yeah, because Josh has ended and Michael's ended, and then John Robinson left. And so Josh is reapplying.
Josh is or is not? Josh is reapplying.
Josh is reapplying, and Tanner Woody, and I forget the other person.
Yeah.
Tanner Woody is running for council.
Someone named Josh Carter. Josh Cheney, I'm looking at what we received. Tanner Woody, and that seems to be it.
And if Tanner's appointed,
I know, it's Tanner was living on the short stint.
Yeah.
So back to the goal setting. Anything else you want to add there? Highway 43 business piece, the tourism piece, including the wayfinding brain, the video, and Michael's point.
Yeah.
But that can maybe be under how we're supporting businesses, but with a specific mission.
Yeah, I think that just applies. Like, I think the 3rd one is actually the DEI barriers.
Which
is
the barriers.
Well, I think we did a good job of that too, even though it wasn't necessarily us. Very good diversity.
Yeah.
But we can, again, I think for myself too, is creating specific how we're going to keep checking it, you know, keep making that happen.
Yes.
The other thing I maybe want to look at next year too is just dollars, and if there's any, I mean, I have a list of ways I want to spend money, but if there's other things that we want to do as far as like that FOLCO survey or, you know, these little MOUs and projects, I'm thinking about that I can like help move some of these things forward.
Can we get information out somehow in the media about the lights going on and music, the light show in Willamette? So I'm on tours in front.
We need a website that has things to do. Yeah, on the top of that.
But like, do other cities know they could drive through Willamette and just have a whole light show to music in their car?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, why don't we have more people driving through?
I don't
like, yeah, how can we get the word out there about that?
So that's I will say that a website is a huge priority of mine, but it often doesn't.
Yeah, I know the website
as a priority,
and
it's other
our websites. I think that's a perfect way to spend money.
Yeah,
let a website person who.
It's harder. I mean, I could have somebody from other departments do it too, but it's so connected to. I need someone from above to approve.
Yeah, sure.
That because it's connected to all these things. But I don't know. I'm open to a creating kind of like maybe our own little, like
a separate one just to make it nice so they can send the link to somebody and I could, because I could build it out in 10 seconds, but it's everything. I've been advised, so like be careful about making any changes because it's connected to all the other departments right now. So it sort of needs an overall overhaul. But I have put it as a prior, like it's something I think is very important. Mm-hmm. Like very, very important.
Well, yeah, and if you're talking about supporting this, I know that Parks spends a decent amount of money on ads for their events and stuff like that and the tidings. And so maybe economic development could have a budget for the tidings where you promote a different business.
I like that.
Oh, that was another thing. I know it hasn't, the deliverable hasn't happened, but the suggestion about featuring business owners, that project is still, I'd still like to make that happen. I also, again, that might be a place where I could hire somebody to say, hey, can you just coordinate this? But can I give you the contacts? And you're all the business owners, and can you just like make that happen?
So that's something that Titans could probably do. If you gave them a budget, right? If you gave whatever money you did, then have one of the writers write the story. So you don't have to do anything. You're just throwing the money at it.
Yeah. There's things like that where I think we could think big picture and use some of the dollars that way as opposed to just trying to, it goes slower.
Yeah.
So it's a couple minutes till 7:30. Anything else
you guys want? For our next meeting, I will be in the Bahamas. So if you are worried about the quorum, I will not be here.
Okay. January might be one of those months where we don't have a meeting, depending on what happens with these new people. Okay.
And I had a question. Do we have to cancel a meeting if you are not available, or can we still meet?
You can meet as long as you have staff to run the recordings. It does have to be recorded. And then
I talked to a couple of people and I don't know, they thought that some staff person needed to be here.
I don't know, I've had meetings. Maybe
because I don't know who would deal with the building and locking up the door and the camera, but
well, you have a staff chair person, like Lynn is usually here to turn on the recording. So as long as that person is here, or it could be the meetings we did have were virtual only.
I would like to get to that point where there's like less of me blabbing on, and I think we're moving in that direction where we're going to be a little bit more focused and somebody, I mean, you do a great job sharing. It's like, what do I need to say, really? If we're projects are a little bit more clear.
Well, and next year, you know, because I think it's always good to have, like I said, continuity to me is important. That if you're not available, do we have a backup way of whether there's someone that can fill in, or like you said, just making sure someone can on this, or do we switch to virtual? But just some kind of backup if we have a quorum, we can still meet.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially if we have a purpose for that meeting. We're going to be discussing these things towards this goal.
Or the subcommittee.
It would be
the three people on the subcommittee.
If there's a purpose talk to it, then it even more so needs to stay in.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think anything else?
Any items of interest? Members? I think we did it, but I just want to make sure.
The facade grant. I'm reviewing those with team of people. We got 17. I was just gonna let you know we got 17 applications requesting. That's $140,000. That's not including.
That's how much money?
I only have 75, but there may be another little pool to draw from. I'm not sure, but I hope to get those awards out this month before Christmas, or at least approve the scope. And then the next step is, you know, they have to fulfill requirements for review process, which so there's definitely quite a few steps. But then, if you want to
get a contract, by the license, you can't apply for the grant if you don't have a business.
Don't get them started. Don't open
them. There's all the value.
Open their box.
Right. Russ, do you have anything?
If you were more vigorous, morally objectionable.
Did you have anything to add?
I don't know that it's really EDC. I'm not sure. It was something I discovered just recently that it was more of a frustration that our city is again spending money on things that could have been done, could have been avoided. Like there's a lawsuit currently for, it was just a resident. They were sharing, they're suing the city for a planning issue that didn't get addressed. And now they're having, they have property damage and the city is now settling with them. And those kinds of things, it seems like we, if we didn't have those, the EDC would have more, like the city in general would have more leverage to encourage economic development. That was the thing that came to mind.
Thank you. Would you be interested in being on a subcommittee, Russell, for the Highway 43? So that.
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's another
names for that, right? So I was going
to ask. Yeah, I think we should come up with a strategy to shake that up early next year too.
Yeah.
And I agree with, I'd love to get us more done via email if possible, as long as we're not replying all and doing quorum, little things like that, or guide you updates to council. And I need to get one. Anyhow, thank you. Happy holidays, Russell.
Thank you. Take care, Russell.
Happy holidays.
7:30.